Hello everyone, welcome to another session of Microsoft Virtual Academy. Today we're going to be talking about ITIL for IT professionals, and we'll be focusing on the process of service strategy. What is this all about? How does it impact me? And how does it impact me especially as an IT service professional? This is something that I think will be valuable whether you are in the field working with individual workstations or you're all the way up at the CIO and you're trying to make decisions about how you deliver to your customers. We're going to be digging into the first major area, and this is going to allow for us to be able to then talk about all the following areas. So the first process, the first phase we're going to be digging into is called service strategy. What is this all about? Service strategy allows for us to talk about what we do. So the reason we have jobs as IT professionals is because we deliver something to the business that they need from us. Service strategy is all about determining what it is I want to deliver and what does it cost and whether or not it's valuable for the business community. When I talk about an IT service, you have to think about it as something that you deliver to the customer in the way the business understands it, and also in a way that isn't necessarily tied to just the technology that delivers it. So, for example, if I was going to talk about communication services, I wouldn't say something like link IP telephony. I'd say communication services because communication services is abstracted from the actual technology itself. Or I wouldn't say something like, if it's communication services, I wouldn't say something like Exchange 2010 or even Microsoft Exchange. I'd say communication services because what if I moved to Office 365? My overall service that has a cost is being judged over a series of years. And I want to know if I move from my on-premise Exchange environment to Office 365, how has it impacted the cost of that service over that period of time? And how has it impacted the way my customers view that service as I work with them? So when we talk about something I deliver to the business really isn't that concerned, believe it or not, the business really isn't that concerned about the technology you're using. They're not that concerned about the name of the technology you're using, as much as they're concerned about the functionality, the business benefit that they're getting from it. They're interested in the idea that they can communicate through email with their customer or with their supplier. They're interested that they can call someone on the phone and talk to them. They're interested that they can see a person through video conferencing. Or if we're talking about something like public marketing services, they're not so interested in how you're hosting your website. You know, they don't care if it's on SharePoint or if it's on something else. They're more interested in the functionality that you're delivering to them. So when we're talking in service strategy, you got to take off a little bit of the IT hat and you got to really put on the business hat and say, what is it that I'm delivering to my business that's making them money or saving them time that reconciles why I have a job at this company? And that's really what this all comes down to, is how am I serving my customers? So when we're talking about what we do, we're really talking about four big things. First, we're talking about the portfolio. What do we deliver to our customers? What's the thing that's being requested for me to deliver to my customers? Sometimes those come in through a side entry. Now, sometimes your business users go out to an application, subscribe to it, and start using it. And by the time you even know about it, they're already using this application. It may even conflict with other things that you're delivering to your business. You may already have an application that delivers that thing. So part of developing a strategy here is talking about how do I appropriately gather the needs of the business through my business relationship to make sure that I'm ahead of them. And then also, how do I intake applications that they're using and either reconcile it against what I'm doing, bring it into what I'm doing, or leverage the application that they've found because it may coincide with their needs. I'm also really interested in what does this application cost? Is this something that is significant in cost? Is it short-term in cost? Does it have a long-term cost? Is there an integration cost? Sometimes companies say, I want to use best-of-breed software. And what that sometimes means is they have a collection of 15 different software products that they're now trying to integrate. Instead of going with a integrated software approach that then may have a lot of software products that might not be, quote, the best of breed, but they might integrate with each other better and then have a lower cost of purchase and then perhaps also a lower cost of integration. Now, I'm not saying whether one of those is better or worse than the other, but what I am saying is that you have to consider cost of operation and of purchase when you're going down a strategy for something to enter into your portfolio. We also have to talk about demand. This is becoming easier as we have the opportunity for the cloud. So for example, if I'm going to build a customer ordering application, where's that customer ordering application going to live? Do I have plenty of capacity on premise, or would I have to build out that capacity? So if they're saying, look, Nate, you know, one of our big service strategies to compete with this other company is to deliver this customer ordering application, and we need it ready before the holidays so people can order the things that we're going to be selling to them. And you say, well, in order for me to do that, I need to be able to spin up all this additional hardware on premise for me to be able to execute on that for you. That's going to really cause some problems. You're doing effective demand management there. But you could also then say in that same conversation, however, I could go to something like Azure Infrastructure as a Service or Platform as a Service, and we can deliver that application there and allow it to burst. And in that conversation, then you're really strategically talking about demand. And you're saying, hey, where do I want to build out my demand? Where's the best place for the cost for me to build it? But then you're also having a conversation about what is my existing platform deliver to me? So you'll notice that service strategy is very much about not just what do I want to deliver, but also what are the right things to deliver, what does it cost, and are my customers in the business even asking for it? So let's take an example of communication services. Communication services would contain deliverables like email, messaging, video conferencing, and then it has a cost. So if I'd say, I've gone through a process of converting to Office 365. And maybe for me, Office 365 is, say, $23 a month, and I've got this flat interior cost of the infrastructure for my network on a per month basis. And then I have a demand that I saw after I moved to Office 365, my VM farm usage dropped 10%. And then after moving to Office 365 from Exchange 2007, my users have been surveyed and they feel that they're happier than they were before. This kind of information is really what we're interested in at this phase. We're interested in what am I delivering, what does it cost, how is my demand being impacted, either for new services, how is it going to be impacted, or for existing services, how is it impacted in sort of a cyclical way? And then also, are my customers ultimately happy with me? Sometimes people think so much about the technical solution, they actually think about the people who are using the tools. Are they getting that extra 15 minutes out of my application that I'm saving them? Or am I introducing something which is costing them time? Ultimately, every application that you deliver from IT is either saving people time or it's costing them time. It's either getting you business or removing business. Which of those are you doing? And do you know? That's what this service strategy is all about. So when we're talking about new service provisioning, beyond the existing services, if I were to sit down and articulate each of my existing services, let's think about if I was starting a business from scratch. If I'm starting a business from scratch, I'm going to be asking questions about that new service I want to provision. So let's use that idea of a customer ordering application. They come to me and they say, I want to deliver a customer ordering application for the holidays for an individual or a group of individuals to be able to buy something from my company. So you say, what business need does it fulfill? Well, it allows them to buy something from us. So then we can increase our sales by a drastic percentage because instead of having to call our company, they're able to do it online. Well, that makes tons of sense. Who's asking for it? In that case, it's probably a sales manager, the president of the company, something like that. They become something called a stakeholder. How critical is it? Well, if I'm pointing my customers to this application to order something at the holidays, it's probably extremely critical. I've had a lot of stories from people where they've launched new websites around the holidays and either a bad site design or a bad infrastructure has prevented them from getting the kind of sales that they were expecting. One company I was talking to had a site go live around the holidays and the site was so poorly designed that people weren't able to order anything. Another example, a site went live around the holidays and it crashed because it couldn't handle the load. So if it's a critical application, Have I architected it in a way that allows me to fulfill what it's attempting to do? Have I built something which allows for me to be able to be successful? That's really where this architectural model comes in. So I'm saying, yes, it aligns with my strategy. Yes, it's critical. Yes, the business owner is asking for it. Yes, it's going to earn me money as an organization. Am I delivering something that will make it successful? Sometimes people start with the architectural model before they even know what they want to deliver. That's really the wrong question to be asking. Once you've determined that this is going to be valuable for you, then you start with the architectural model. And you say, here's how I'm going to provision this to meet my demand capabilities. We're not necessarily specifically speccing out the system right now. That's really more of a question for service design. Right now, what we're more talking about is when I'm delivering an application to my customers in the business, do I know the basic model that I'm going to use to be able to serve that scalability question? Also, what is that overall estimated cost? So if I'm saying I'm going to make $10 million off of this application based upon all the orders that'll come in, are my costs that allow me to fulfill those orders lining up with delivering this application? And also, who is reconciling the cost? In my organization, do I have an ability to do showback? Do I have an ability to do chargeback? Most companies can do showback, right? If you're doing service strategy. So if you're doing service strategy, you don't have to have an actual area to bill it to do showback. You can just show the CEO or the CIO what it costs to deliver something. It's a little bit more complex to do actual chargeback. But once you're doing showback, chargeback becomes really practical because you know what it costs. So instead of IT being this big bucket where all your costs go, you say, IT is just a cost center. All you guys do is charge money to our corporate charge cards and buy stuff from Azure and buy computers for yourselves and so on. Totally not the case, right? We're delivering something that the customer, our business, is using to make money. But once we can reconcile that cost on a per service basis, it allows us really to show the business where their money's going. So for example, do my business priorities align with where I'm spending money? That's a question that a lot of companies can't answer. And that's something we want to be able to answer as a result of this. So how do Microsoft tools interact with this? Well, first, business discussions inform the creation process, not a tool discussion first off, right? When they come to you and they say, look, I want to allow people to buy stuff from a public website. It's not really a tool discussion, it's a business discussion. I want that to be loud and clear because so many IT guys focus really just on the IT. They don't focus on the business. We're focused on the business discussion. Then we move into a couple other models. We start collaborating on things that we might want to do. So one of the examples I'll show you is a SharePoint site where we're simply collaborating on the new services that we want to intake into the system. We're creating a model of the application in a document library. And then finally, in the System Center space, System Center Service Manager is the IT Business Service repository. So once we accept that we want to deliver something to our customers in the business, it gets provisioned as an IT business service in Service Manager. Service Manager is built to maintain the list of IT business services and allow us then to build our operational processes and our transition processes and our service design package into Service Manager as a mechanism to hold it. And then the rest of System Center interacts with all these other tools, like whether it's Azure as a hosting platform or Operations Manager managing its availability or a Config Manager deploying the application to my customers, those technology deliverables are just a piece of the puzzle. But if we don't have the business discussion at the first part of this, we're really not going to be successful. All right, so let's go and do a demo. I'll show you a little bit about this. All right, so I'm inside of a SharePoint environment living in Office 365. So in Office 365, I've provisioned a list which we use to be able to walk through the different services that we want to deliver to our customers, either in the field or in the business or to a partner or to someone who's ordering something from us. So we sit down and we talk about the different services that we want to deliver. And these are just for new services. These aren't for the services that are in production presently. These are for regular reviews of ideas that we have that have been reconciled against their cost. So for example, if I'm sitting down and I want to develop a customer ordering application, I'm capturing some information that's going to be very helpful to me to make those decisions. So first I want to understand, what is it going to do? So in this case, it's a platform for customers to purchase our products, which is very helpful because then I understand that. I also know that the sponsor is James Savage. In our case, he is the president of the business, and I can also see that I have some presence awareness of him. He's not presently online. Then I also have what business revenue that this particular product might deliver to our business. So I can say, here's my business revenue that this is going to deliver if we produce it. I can also say, what is the hours saved internally that this will present? So in this particular case, I'm finding that if my people don't have to pick up the phone, they're going to be able to save some time that they're presently spending on the phone and be able to work on something else that's going to be more valuable for them. It also has an upfront capital cost because it's a service. The capital cost is very low. This is a sort of subscription. I also have a yearly cost associated with some of the application. I have some project hours and I have some support hours to be able to support it over time. One of the things that sometimes people ask me when we're talking about applications is, how many full-time engineers do I need to support this application? How is it going to impact my staff? Because we know in IT that sometimes the business doesn't really think about what the impact is on the general IT guy. They may think about deploying an application, but they may not think about all the things that you're doing. And one of the things that I really consider is, do we want IT to just be good, or do we want them to be excellent? And you have to think about, how many things can you do excellent? And how many things can you do good? And how many things can you do poor? And how does your process impact that? So when I'm talking about these applications and I'm talking about the hours necessary to support it, we'll have to talk about, how many people do I have in IT? And where am I looking to save them time so they can pick up this new application? Or am I just expecting them to work another 10 hours a week? Because we know it's not necessarily practical that you will work that extra 10 hours a week. Something else is ultimately going to suffer if we don't change either the amount of time you spend on your internal IT tasks through something like an automation, or we don't focus on taking applications that aren't valuable out of the stack. I can see that this particular service is also in a status of envisioning. So I look at this service, I can say, okay, it's something that's going to be valuable to us. It's something that we're evaluating. We haven't necessarily chosen it, but I can see that it's replacing an existing service, which is our manual ordering process. On the flip side, I might see something like the fizzy lifting drinks. So fizzy lifting drinks is a very important request that allows people to be able to float up in the air when they drink soda. It's very popular from the Willy Wonka. And Kurt Poser, one of our sales folks, is requesting this particular service. Now, I guess I could say that sounds really cool. Like, for me to sell a software or soda product that would cause people to be able to float up in the air. But I might say, is this necessarily going to provide us with business revenue? Well, for our business, it's probably not going to give us business revenue. Or its business revenue might even be negative, because if people are floating up in the air, they might sue me because they flew up in the air and couldn't come back down. Also, I have hours that are saved per year. I'm probably not saving a whole lot of hours. In fact, I'm probably negatively impacting people's productivity by building a soda that causes them to float up in the air. However, to build the soda that causes them to float up in the air, it's going to be really expensive. So this allows me to be able to show, in a pretty kind of silly example, how I'm differentiating between something that's going to be very valuable to the business and something that's not so valuable to the business. And that's where I'd encourage you to take your IT hat off and say, look, is this thing I'm talking about the right thing to focus on? Am I focusing on an application that I'm intaking into the business that's going to save them time or energy or make them more efficient? Or is this something that I'm just interested in? Sometimes it really will make them more efficient. And by articulating how it makes them more efficient, it allows you to keep your eyes on that benefit to the business as opposed to just focusing on the technology itself. So once I move these particular services out of the envisioning process and I bring them into a production process, it allows for me then to be able to show this within my tools. So for example, I've envisioning, I'm going to put this in the requested state. So now that's in a requested state. So I'm going to go into my service manager console. And in my service manager console, I'm provisioning services. So I could see, here's my customer ordering services that I'm provisioning. And in service manager, I have a variety of ways to look at this information. And I'll say, this is really one of the principal experiences that I have in Service Manager. There's a lot of different experiences I can provision to allow people access information. In Service Manager, one of the first things I can do is I can show configuration information. And within the context of showing configuration information, I can also show business services that configuration information bubbles up to. So under the business services area, you can see the things I deliver to my customers. They can see that I have email services and network connectivity services and certificate services and portal and collaboration services. But you can also see this customer ordering services. And it has a status of critical, because if I'm delivering a bill from the order, it's going to be a critical service. And it's an enterprise application versus authentication and access. When I look at its status, I can see it's in a requested status. And that allows for me then to be able to determine whether or not that's something I'm presently supporting, or it's something that's there's a project to be able to implement. So when we go into this in further detail, we'll be talking about what does the service design package look like to capture a lot of this information. In my SharePoint site, I was very interested in things like cost and sponsor and the requested information and the project hours and its description, right? But in order to support it, I need information like who's actually responsible for it? What's its classification within the rest of the systems? What's the owned by organization? What's its configuration items that serve it? I'm interested in all this other design-oriented information. The strategy process ends here. The strategy process says, I'm now going to hand this off to a design process that then determines what the appropriate configuration design for the service is. And they're then going to dig into some of the things we'll talk about next, like its availability schedule and its service owner and the contacts and the customers and its configuration and its relationships to controls. So we'll be digging into a lot of those components in the next session. All right, so now we've talked a little bit about how our tools can capture some of the information in the strategy process. How are we going to take that in the next steps? Here's some practical questions that you can ask yourselves. First, do I have a list of what I deliver to the business? Do I have a list of my IT business services? Most companies don't. Most companies, they operate all this IT stuff. They get a lot of calls from their customers, but they don't really have a list of the things they deliver to the business. If you don't have a list of what you deliver to the business, start now. A lot of companies find that they need that list when they do a DR exercise. So they're sitting figuring out, like, what does my recovery process look like in my failover site? And a part of that process is to say, okay, what do I actually need to bring up in my failover site? And that's usually an exercise in talking about what it is I deliver to the business. So start now around articulating what you deliver to your customers and form a process to intake those new services. So in addition to having a list of what I deliver, do I have a way that I capture what the business requires from me? Whether it comes in through the side door and they're already using it, or it's a new thing, do I have a process to capture those services? Do I have controls that I apply to the services? So am I applying a protection plan? Am I applying a change control? Am I applying a service level agreement that then has a control to protect the service level agreement? Do I have those controls in place? So it kind of builds on each other, as you can see, right? You have to know what you're delivering to have a control against what you're delivering. If you don't know what you're delivering, it's kind of difficult to manage it. Can I articulate the approximate cost of that same thing I'm delivering? If you don't know what you're delivering, it's hard to articulate a cost. And then also, am I decommissioning services? So a lot of times, we have applications that we deliver to our customers that have been sitting out there forever. They're an old version of the thing that I'm doing now. Do I have a process to decommission them? That's something that a lot of people laugh about. They'll say, Yeah, IT services never go away, right? But in order for us to effectively support what we deliver to the business, we do have to decommission applications which are no longer valuable. So we need to have a life cycle for each thing we deliver to the business. All right, so next time, we're going to get a little deeper, and we're going to talk about service design. So this takes the thing the business asked for that we approved and have a budget for and a basic model. So if you said, customer ordering application, it's beneficial to the business, my basic models, I want to spin it up in Azure, president of the company is my customer. Now, how do we take that and bring it into a service design that has availability requirements and a specific design in Azure? How do I do that? How do I set expectations around the service so when I deliver it into production, my service design reconciles with what my customers will ultimately expect? That's what we'll talk about next time on the Microsoft Virtual Academy series.